Hello, I'm Sonia Smith, the director of the Center for Wine Origins. We're here to help you celebrate authentic wines and the regions they come from. You can learn more about us at www.wineorigins.com.
You're listening to iWine Radio. My name is Lynn Creelo Chamberlain, host of Wine and Dine. Oh, the lucky Becky Sue Epstein, who is today joining us from the land of Sherry, Sherryland, Jerez, Spain. You know, if I had my druthers, I would be having one or two glasses of Manzanilla and or Fino Sherry every single day. But Becky Sue has a sweet tooth. How are you doing?
Well, this is great. We've had just some fabulous Finos, and we're going to the place where they make the Manzanilla tomorrow.
Oh, my gosh. Well, just, like, you know, say a little prayer over it. Oh, Lynn wishes that she was here. I just adore it, and it's so good with so many foods.
It is. We've been having a lot of really interesting sherry since I got to this place, which is spelled J-E-R-E-Z. It's pronounced Jerez, or Jerez, depending on who you are. I haven't really figured out who pronounces it one way. But either way, I asked, what do they call sherry in Spain? And people looked at me blankly, and they said it was the wines of the region of sherry. They don't have like a one word like we do, which seems kind of strange. But I think they ask for Fino or Manzanilla or, okay, you know, Oloroso. I think they ask for the style. They
okay.
don't just ask for a sherry.
Okay, that makes sense. So, and now tell us, what are you doing today, and what are you doing at this moment that you're talking to us?
I'm sitting on a bench in the pedestrian shopping area of Jerez, and everybody is walking up and down the street, buying things, meeting their neighbors, talking over their stuff with their girlfriends and boyfriends, and it's still light out, even though it's after 8 o'clock. The cafes are just getting started, and we have an hour to kill because I think we have the first reservation for dinner at a cafe, and it's at 9 o'clock.
Isn't that the truth? Things really don't even get started until 9 or 10 o'clock.
Yeah. It's you know, it's okay sometimes, but I sort of said, well, could we eat earlier? And everyone just sort of looked at me like there was something wrong with me, and I said, no, 9 is great.
Are you the only American on this group, in this group?
No, it's a bunch of American journalists, and we're also kind of meeting up with a bunch of American bartenders, some of the top bartenders in the country who have won prizes with their sherry cocktail.
Oh, yes, so this is through the Center for Wine Origins.
Yes, it is, yeah. And so, you know, they're really serious about this stuff.
Yes.
And, you know, they're taking a lot of pictures, and they're, you know, tasting a lot. And so somebody said, well, here, you can pour this out if you don't want all of your taste and try the next one. And they just looked at her and said,
yes,
we drink. We
yes.
don't pour it out.
Oh, my God. Is Sonia Smith with you on this trip?
She will be. She's coming in, I think, Thursday or something. I'm not sure. She's coming in at some point. I haven't met her, though. I did listen to her on iWine Radio, so I know about her.
She's going to join us in a month after the competition and after the big conference there and talk about the winners. And it's so cool that sherry is getting this kind of attention now.
It really is. I mean, the bartenders are really into it, and the amount of history it has is just... the amount of history is just astounding. I mean, the places where we are, they've been making this wine for hundreds of years, and we're in these giant cathedral-like bodegas where they age the sherry, and they have to have very, very tall ceilings and high beams, and there are, you know, 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 levels of barrels aging in there. And above that, there's still more space because they have to be able to open and close the windows according to where the breeze is coming from so they can get the right amount of heat and cold and humidity and dryness. And they open and close them every day and every night. And these wines are naturally made. They're not made with artificially cooled cellars or anything.
Becky Sue, what does it smell like in the town? Does it smell like sherry or yeast or...
No, you kind of have to go into a bodega for that.
Okay.
It's, you know, I guess the winds just, you know, come through and take the scent away. But there is certainly a lot of sherry drinking here, as you would expect. And it's with everything. I mean, with meat, with cheese, with on its own, with a lot of seafood. There's a lot of seafood. We're not too far from
yes.
the sea here. We're in the Sherry Triangle and influenced by the Atlantic Ocean and two rivers that flow into it on either edge.
So where you're going tomorrow, Manzanilla, is real close to the ocean, Atlantic, right?
Yeah, and it's at one of the river mouths. It's San Lucar Barrameda. I think
yes.
Barrameda is the name of the river or the river area. I'm not very good with geography, but anyhow, I think the important thing people are trying to communicate here is that even though sherry is a fortified wine, sherry is a wine.
Yes.
And it's not a spirit, but it's something that you can add to cocktails or something you can drink on its own. I mean, here, people drink wine with dinner, and their local wine is a wine called sherry, and that's
right.
what they have.
Right.
You know, we would have a light wine and a medium white or a light white and medium red, and they would have just, you know, an Oloroso or a Palo Cordado.
I don't know that, the Palo Cordado. What is that?
That's a wine that started out to be one thing and became another thing. So they've got Finos and Manzanilla. Those are the first, the lightest ones. They're aged not really, they don't really get a lot of oxygen in them because
yes.
they've got this floor, this yeast, that layer that grows on top of them that interacts with the air and with the sherry, and that keeps the air out. But the other ones, the Amontillados and the Olorosos and the Pedro Ximenez, they are aged, they turn darker brown because they interact with the oxygen that comes in through the barrels. But if you start out to make one of the floor-aged wines, and after about 7 years, it doesn't really look, the floor just kind of disappears, it wasn't a good batch or whatever, then you turn it into an oxygen-aged one, and that's the kind of rare Palo Cortado one.
Oh. Well, that,
and those are great with actually meat and red meat and things like that. They're kind of hearty, and they have a little bit of both characteristics in them.
Do they serve them chilled like a Manzanilla or a Fino?
Yeah, they tend to serve them all a little bit chilled. I mean, I saw a chart today by the head of the regulatory council, and he had things from 8 to 12 degrees, which is, you know, like 48 to 53 or something
okay.
like that in
Fahrenheit.
So in that range, a little warmer than a fridge.
When you're eating in restaurants, do you see people order like half a bottle of Manzanilla or Fino to start the meal, or do they serve it by the glass?
I think they serve it by the glass. The aperitifs you start with, I think they serve more by the glass. And every so often someone will realize, oh, we've got seven people, so I will open a bottle. But basically it's a by-the-glass thing. And it's easy, it's not expensive, and it's very hot here. I have to say, everywhere I've been in the last 5 months, I've had a heat wave. So it's, you know, 85, 90 degrees
really?
During the day. And it's very refreshing to have something that's kind of like a different take on a white wine that's slightly chilled.
Tell listeners, please, that the alcohol content of like a Manzanillo and a Fino compared to an Amontillado or an Oloroso, because some people think of sherry as just really high, like a port.
Well, no, they actually they can't be more than 15%. And our table wines, our hard table wines, like Zinfandels and things like that, can be 15%
yeah.
alcohol.
Yes.
And it's considered kind of high for a table wine, but not for a fortified wine. And then some of the really older, sweeter ones, sherries, like Pedro Ximenez, can be 18 to 22. That's more like a port.
Like a port, yeah.
But for the ones that you would drink with your dinner, it's lower. I think then the Palo Cortado, Oloroso, and Amontillado can go up to about 17%.
Okay.
Because what they do is they actually fortify them to that so that the floor, the yeast doesn't grow in them, so they can react with the oxygen in the air, because they don't fill the barrels totally full, so there's oxygen in them. And
okay.
they use American oak.
Oh. Oh, my. And the name
yeah.
and the system for aging is called Solera.
Yes, the Solera system. Solera actually refers to the word for floor, the floor of a building. F-L-O-O-R.
Okay.
And so the first row is called the Solera row of barrels. And then there are other ones on top of that. They have. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Somebody came down on their motorcycle. So they have. So the Solera is the row of barrels on the floor, and then above it there are more barrels, and above it there are more barrels, And the oldest barrels are on the floor, on the Solera. And that's what they take and they bottle. They're only allowed to take a third of any Solera at any given time. They can take less. They can take 10 or 20% if they want. But once they take a third of it out of all each barrel in this particular row that they have in their giant bodega, and they mix it up together so it's all homogenized, and then they bottle it. And then they take the next row, and they take that same amount of wine, and they put it in a tank, and then they put it in, they put a little bit in each of the bottom row, and then they take the row above it, do the same thing, so that they can have
consistency.
Solaras that are, 100 years old. We were just thinking something that the other said the average age was, say, 40 years old, but the Solera started in 1919.
So the youngest wines, Becky Sue, are up on top of the pyramid.
Yes, the youngest wines are on top.
Okay.
Yeah, but they have to be aged for 3 years before they even get there.
Oh, my
Before they're even
gosh.
Considered sherry.
Oh, my
so,
gosh.
And there's a couple of new categories for VOS and VORS, which are 20-year-old and 30-year-old wines. They weren't quantified until about the year 2000. Everyone in sherry in Jerez knew what they were, but no one outside, so they actually came up with these new category names.
We're at the end of the segment. When you write about this, can you send me the link so I can post it?
Okay, I sent you a link of me in a bodega today.
Oh, cool.
A photo.
Oh, cool. Becky Sue, thank you so very much.
Okay, thanks, Lynn. Bye.
iWine Radio is a production of Food Tastes Better with Wine on the web at iwineradio.com.